Turn with me today to the book of Deuteronomy. I love the book of Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy means the repeating of the law. You know, when Joshua said this book of the law shall not depart from God, told it to Joshua, he was talking about Moses's, most of it's in Deuteronomy. And I want to deal with something today that I believe you're going to enjoy, and you're going to be blessed, and you might think of it in a different manner after we finish here today. The whole world is looking for success. They want success in marriage. They want success in life. They want success financially. They want your children to be a success. You know, one thing about Americans, we grew up saying this in school: what are you going to be when you grow up? What's so wonderful about the United States of America, and I've never lived in any other country, some of you have, they always told us that we could do anything. Growing up from pre-K all the way through high school and into college and things of that nature. You know, there's nothing you can't do because you live in the United States of America. You know, and we had freedom to do things, and that's why most people who may hate us want to come live here. Because even in the free nations of Europe and things like that, it's not like living here. It's just truly an amazing thing, and how God has taken this nation and used it to preach the gospel literally all over the world. And we're the greatest givers in the world, Americans, even though we're all criticized for it. But when, you know, when tragedies happen and the tsunamis that hit in Asia and the different things, I mean, guess who stepped to the front? Americans. Just normal, hardworking people. And the reason why, we have not faltered or failed financially is because we put in God we trust on our money, which a lot of people are trying to take off, and they should never do that. You know what I'm saying? Because what happens is he's the one that actually, you know, makes sure that your check is right. Make sure. And, you know, people say, so, but Jesse, you really are a capitalist. Let me help you. The reason why I'm not a socialist. And you know, let me tell you how you really begin to find out is when you take a job, okay, and you work all week long hard, and then they give you your check, you really become a capitalist when you begin to see how much they took out.
That's right.
You go, now wait a minute. How many of you, you may work in some of the plants and you work on a holiday or you work on a week, you get double time and a half, and it costs you more to work. You wind up with about a time, not a double time. In other words, if you make an extra $250, they take out $125. See, then all of a sudden, you know what? I think I'm going to be a capitalist. Because you see, and we should help people. I believe in that. Don't misunderstand me. But Jesus said, in the scriptures, if you don't work, you don't eat. Which it meant was not that he wouldn't feed people, because there's some people can't work. We got enough sense to do it, and thank God we got a nation that can handle those kind of things. But it wasn't designed. Same thing with minimum wage. Minimum wage is not designed for you to make all your life. Those are startup jobs. That means, I believe that's given so your kids won't be lazy. You teach them to work. And if you'll believe God, you can grow into better jobs and better, you know, better hourly wages and things of that nature. But you really begin to notice when you look at your check. And you figure it out how many hours and you think, man, I got a big one coming, until you see what they took out. Now, people that don't work, they don't care. It doesn't make any difference, you know, as long as they can get theirs. But a nation will never grow until people learn how to work. But what makes success powerful is something that a lot of people don't even realize. And I want to talk this morning about the power of success. So if you've got your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to read something here. Moses is talking to the nation of Israel. The reason why we can accept this, what I'm about ready to read today, because we're the seed of Abraham. We've been engrafted into God's family. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and to fear him, which means respect him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valley and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarce. And notice where God takes you. There's always a full supply. Did you notice that? That thou shalt not lack how many things?
Anything.
Notice what God does. He's not in the lack. Sometimes the church preaches lack. In it, a land whose stones are iron, which means you got raw resources, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Notice you didn't even have to pay for it. You may have to fight for it. We declared independence July the 4th, 1776, but we had to fight a war to 1783 to get it. Now, the verse 11 is very powerful. Beware. In other words, listen. It's the caution light. Look at me. This is happening right now in Scripture. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Now, how can you forget a God that brought you? Now, these people were in deserts, wilderness, brought them to water, fountains, valleys, hills. They had wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. There was no lack, nothing scarce, raw substance. Good Lord. And yet God puts in verse 10, where thou hast eaten a full, in other words, when you're satisfied, then you bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth. He didn't even have to pay for it. Why? Because he didn't ask you to pay for it. He asked you to believe for it. So many churches teach you to pay for things when we teach you to believe for things here. Beware, in other words, caution, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, not suggestions, and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Now watch verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built beautiful, the word goodly means beautiful houses, how beautiful houses, and you dwell therein. When you, and I'm going to paraphrase this, when your bank accounts and your retirement accounts multiply, when you got silver and gold because you bought it on Wall Street and it went up, it multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Notice wherever God brings you, multiplication is part of what he does. Verse 14, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Tells the way he led them through the terrible wilderness. Verse 16, he fed them with manna, my God, raining bread. Cool, man. Verse 17, that thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Watch that. Just because you smart don't mean, bless God, you got something that it happened because of your intelligence. Where I want to get to is verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Everybody say remember.
Remember.
Do you remember when James T. Kirk was on the other side of the partition? And Spock was in the nuclear reactor. And he died and they couldn't touch each other. And he stuck his hand before he went in. He put his hand on McCoy Bones and he went, remember. Y'all gotta excuse me. I'm a Trekkie. I love Star Trek. Remember. Sometimes I do that to Kathy when she's sleeping. Remember. Remember when you was 18 years old and you did everything I told you to do. Remember. But then I realized there was a partition between us. I was not touching her. But thou shalt remember the Lord, whose God? Whose God? For it is he. Whoa, now watch this. This is totally contrary to what a lot of the church teaches. For it is he that giveth thee what?
Power,
power to get what?
Power.
Say it again.
Power.
So if money's so bad, why does God give you power to get it? Why does God want you successful? Spiritually, physically, financially? Because he gives you power to get it. Which means if he was wrong, he wouldn't do that. Why? That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods, which means sometimes you can get wealthy and your money becomes your God, and serve the money and worship that. I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. I'm going to go back to verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Let's deal this morning with the power of success. Write this down. If you take your notes, God and wealth are ever to be thought of together. God and wealth cannot be separated. When you get to heaven, you're not going, bless God, to the projects. You're not going to the duplexes. You're not going to the trailers. You're not going to any of that stuff. You're going in my father's house or many mansions. You're going to live in a big house. You can't separate God from wealth. The reason why a lot of people have been separated because we preach poverty as something from God. When it's not. Poverty didn't happen until Satan caused the fall. That garden was chock-a-block full, like they say in the oil industry. And everything they needed, they desired, and they wanted. Plus fellowship. Roses with no thorns. Skunks with no smell. Lions that wouldn't hurt you. Laying down with sheep. Didn't see them as a piece of meat. Isn't that amazing? God and wealth can never be separated. Why? The Bible says the silver and the gold are mine. He said it. Why? Because he created it. Amen. Write this down. He gives you power to use wealth and gives you power to keep wealth. Amen. That is what people say about me, ministers. How can that Jesse the Planet accomplish what he does? It doesn't seem like recessions affect him. Well, we don't participate in them. See, the Lord has given me power to give what? He shows me how to use it. And let me give you a prime example. Everybody look around the church. That is using it. It's all paid for. You can't put your finger on anything in here that's not paid for. Even the electricity running the lights. But he also gave me power to keep it. I've never been under pressure financially because I decided that I knew God's word would be real. I would not take on God's job. He showed me, he gave me power to get it. So if he gave me power to get wealth, then he gave me power to understand wealth. And to make me realize that wealth is not my source. And we should never forget that. So he gave me power to use it and gave me power to keep it. You see, when you, write this down, when you remember God, when you remember God, it turns your heart and eyes toward heaven. When you remember God, it turns your heart and eyes toward heaven. He says, set your affection on things are above, not on things below. You see, I set my affection on my answers instead of my problems. Because I want one thing about a problem, all it does is cause discourse and stress and worry. Now, what's the power of success? Remember that it's he. You notice me about all the time when people say, boy, brother Jesse, you got a nice home. Well, the Lord is gracious. God has been good. My Lord Jesus. When people say, boy, you got, I say, well, the Lord has been so good. I always remember God. See, you can get so busy doing godly things that you forget God. You begin to get so busy raising, trying to raise money instead of believe for money, and you produce a pattern all your life to struggle to get where you want to go. Think about that for a minute. But when you remember God, it turns your heart and your eyes toward heaven. I've had many opportunities to fail. But the reason why I didn't take it, because not because I was some great man of God, because I wasn't looking at failure. I was looking up. You see what I'm saying? I've never had to back my words down in 40 years of preaching or 38 years of full-time ministry. In my staff, I've never laid off one person in my life. Never. Not one time because of financial trouble. I'm not that smart. But everything I've ever done, I have never forgotten that it is He. And I will express it. That's why I will tell you some of the things I got, which the church world thinks is cockiness and arrogance. No, it's reminding me, Jesse, the Lord's favor is on you. And I let people know that in every part of my life. One man asked me not long ago, what happened if you would lose it all? What would you do? Look at me. Start over. You can't take what's inside of me. And I promise you, if I ever lose something, I'm going to be 7 times richer than you ever saw. Because I'm going to catch that devil thief and I'm going to make him pay. The Bible says you catch the thief, you got to return it 7-fold. You know, I say 7 times for your mathematical mind, but it's actually 7-fold. Which is much greater than 7 times. 100-fold is way more greater than 100 times. But we have to use 100 times so you can, your mathematical mind can try to figure out, whoa, that's so big, right? But you got to remember the Lord thy God. So when something bad goes to happen, you know what I do? I don't deny. I said, I'm going to remember some good things. And I call it, I begin to talk to the Lord. Lord, do you know when you did this? He says, tell me, Jesse, when I did it. God is always asking me to quote scripture for. I said, you know, you said, he said, what did I say, Jesse? What did I say? I said, you said this. Not long ago, I got up and I had a little rasp in my throat. Boy, something was trying to grab me. I said, Lord, you know what you say? He said, what did I say, Jesse? I said, you said, by your stripes, I am healed. He said, tell your throat that. And I'll listen to it. So let me say it again. When you remember God, it turns your heart and your eyes toward heaven. You see, without a sense of obligation, there's no real obedience. Write that down. Without a sense of obligation, there is no real obedience. We're obligated. All you that watch me all over the world, many of you are partners in my ministry. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. Most people never say this, but the Lord told me to say this morning. You are obligated to the vision God has called you to help me in. Because no one can do it by themselves. Even Jesus hired 12 full-time people. You see what I'm saying? So I see a lot of people think, well, bless God, I'll just go on about my, whoa. No, no. See, without any real sense of obligation, you won't have any obedience. I was always told everywhere I worked that I was a good, now when I worked in an office, they called you a good hand. Remember that? They say you're a good hand, right, Glenn? You're a good hand. Or you're a good employee. Why? Because I had a sense of obligation. And it caused obedience for me to do the job. I was known when I first went to work for Shell Oil Company as the Golden Boy Shell. Because you see, problems, I just wouldn't let them lie. There were some problems that were there for 40 years. And they said, well, you'd have to go to the morgue to find out what that. The morgue is what they call, it's called dead invoices, which you happen to have about 4 million of them. You know how big Shell Oil Company is? And they would stack them. This is before you could put everything on a disc and all kinds of. And I thought, and what they would do would write it off. But, and the reason they wrote it off because they couldn't figure out why. Because nobody was willing to go back there and get dirty and dusty for hours upon hours and open up the invoice and cut your fingers with that paper. Lord Jesus. And even my own boss said, Jesse, I said, I'm going to find out what happened to OSC G3152. That's a well that was drilled in the Gulf of Mexico. And I said, I am going to balance that well with the financial report. It took about 11 months, but I found it. And then you know what they said? What job you want? Now, what made me do it? What made a sense of obligation? Because if I didn't have that, I'd have no real obedience. See, everybody wanted to know, but see, they got satisfied in not knowing. I refuse to give up. I will not give up. You see, I decided to put God first in my life. Now, let me explain that. I made a lot of money as a musician. I mean, a lot of money. Ooh, I made some money in my life. But what happens then when you work for a thief, he steals it all. That's why you find some of the greatest musicians, greatest athletes that make hundreds of millions of dollars, broke. Broke. I mean, when I say broke, how do you, Mike Tyson went through $400 and $500 million. How you do that? Joe Louis, the Brown Bomber. Talk about a fighter. Now, he was before my time. I wasn't born. At one time, Joe Louis was making $400,000 a year. That is in what, 1920, 25, 30, something like that? That is a lot of money. And at the end of his life, he was in a wheelchair. And they put him out at Caesar's Palace so he could try to make a living. Thank God for Frank Sinatra. Sinatra helped Joe Louis quite a bit. Now, how can you go through those things? I mean, how can you do those things? How? You see, because you see, money, you got to understand about money. Money's a Judas. Money don't care if you starve to death. It'll walk away from you. But you know, you can eat all you want as long as you pay. But the minute you don't pay your bill, they kick you out of that restaurant. They don't love you. They love your money. But the minute you don't have it, you got to go. But you see, the reason why God blessed me in those things was I was a witness for him. Every time I got something, I said, boy, the Lord was gracious. I never forget when they gave me a promotion. I said, I want to thank you and I named my boss's name. And I want to thank the Lord that he allowed me. Because, see, they would tell me this. Boy, Jesse, you literally balance finance. That's One Shell Square in New Orleans. With the Morgan City Terminal, you balanced it. I said, no, I did not. I just did the work. It was the Lord that balanced it. Yeah. You see, I wouldn't take that. I remember the Lord thy God. Yes. You see, little did I realize it was the key to my success, spiritually, physically, financially. Are y'all enjoying this? Amen. That's why God kept telling this. Remember me. When you got these beautiful houses, you let people know, remember me. Remember, see. Which gives me this next point. Rich memories will create rich life. Write that down. Rich memories will create rich life. Wealth and riches and great estates are not mere accidents. Why? There's a special providence in them. Let me say it again. Rich memories will create rich lives. Wealth, riches, and great estates are not mere accidents. There is a special providence in them. In other words, this just don't happen. It's God saying, I can bless this individual because they give me glory. That's why Jesus never struggled financially. You never heard Jesus saying, the ministry is just too hard. Now, let me get back to what I did. When I went into the ministry, I gave all my money away. You got to understand. Because I thought you had to be poor to be a Christian. That's what we were taught. Give and don't expect nothing in return. Well, if you don't get in return, guess what? Next thing is poverty. Right. Now watch this. I bought a house that most people wouldn't have lived in. I had preachers making fun of it in New Orleans. It was 910 square foot. The bathroom was so small you could sit on the toilet and put your hands in the lavatory at the same time. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? My great aunt, my aunt Elsa, I can say this now because she's in heaven because she beat my brains out. She's big. She real big. She got close to 700 pounds. So she came to my house. She said, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, Aunt Elsa, I got to take you to the Shell station. She said, what? I said, you're going to go through the floor. You can't fit in there. Because when she'd get up and move, she'd stop for a minute and her body would just kind of move for a while until it kind of, I am not lying. Her calf was as big as my chest. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? But yet, wonderful. I took her to the Shell stage and the car was like this. I'm not lying. Like it. So I went out there and I walked. I said, listen, you had to get a key to it. I said, is your toilet on a slab? He said, what? I am not lying. I said, is your toilet on a slab? Yeah. Why would you ask such a dumb thing? Here come Aunt Elsa. He go, oh, I understand that perfectly. Yet she was the most wonderful person you ever meet in your life. Happy. Could dance. Sing. Oh, if there was a party, she'd get to move it, and she had moves, because when she stopped, they still moved. Those are rich memories as a child growing up. And yet, out of all my mother's sisters, they usually had more money than most anybody else. They knew how to handle money and keep money. How many of y'all saw the television series Downton Place? Downton Abbey. Anybody saw that? Well, I mean, those big, beautiful homes that they built. And you see, a lot of those people built that and thought it would last forever. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing. Because you live in a decaying world. So you have to refurbish. See, there are a lot of people today going to church that their Christianity is decaying. So when me and Kathy went, and I had to step out by faith, but I had made up my mind that I wouldn't buy a nice house because at that time I could afford it. See, that it didn't make no difference about. I looked at my wife, Kathy, and I said, we're going into ministry. There may be some times we won't be able to eat. Do you understand that? She said, yeah, that's fine. I said, I may not be able to buy you clothes like I used to when I was in the rock band, or shoes. And she said, that's fine. I said, I got to take the call. She said, well, I'll go to church on the church bus. Kathy went to church on the church bus because we didn't have a second call. You see, I put God first. And because I put God first, he put my family. He took care of me. And there were some tough times. Sometime I came back, I hadn't eaten a week because it was a forced fast. No, they didn't feed. I didn't have money because I'd given it away. You think I got depressed or discouraged? No, I'd get up going, you chose me to preach this gospel. Me? And I would just, what, tears would come in my eyes. I see, after I got saved, I learned to cry. Not much, but I learned to cry. I'm still not a crier. As I get older, I guess I mean, you couldn't get me to cry in a movie, but the other day, I was wiping tears from my eyes. And Kathy looked, and she loves it when I just get emotional. I hate that, you know, Lord Jesus. I don't care what happened. And you know, people say, I'm going to put my family first. That's wrong. See, it's God who puts your family first. It's not you. You see what I'm saying? And I said, now, Kathy, this may get tough. And she said, I don't care. I am so glad you're saved. I am so glad that you're preaching the gospel. So Kathy made her own clothes. Yeah, and when we did go eat, we went to McDonald's. And we ate quarter pounder with cheese. And that's where Jody learned to wipe out a French fry with ketchup. She would eat one fry and about a bottle of ketchup with one fry. Till the fry would just disintegrate. I said, you can use another one, Jody. I like this one, Daddy. She never knew any difference. We did whatever it needed. And we honored God. I never forget when we put our tithe check. Kathy always put mail in a certain place to put the tithe check there. And my brother-in-law, Jules Bouquet Singh, he said, Jesse, you need that money. I said, oh, Jules. Now, this one, Jules was an atheist. I said, oh, Jules, you have no idea what God's going to do for me. He said, boy, you talk about God all the time. I said, he's so wonderful, Jules. He said, Jesse, you're living in a 910-foot square. How old was that house? 60, 70, 80 years old, something like that? I said, I don't care. I said, the grass is cut neat, isn't it? You know why? Because I cut it. It didn't make no difference to me. I said, oh, Jules, you have no idea what's going to happen to me. And he didn't. But then they began to see. I kept giving God honor. I kept my eyes toward heaven. Because I know if I look down, I didn't see nothing. I didn't have bad memories. You know why? Write this down. Gratitude cures bad memories. Isn't this good? God gave me this at 2:30 this morning, y'all. Amen. Gratitude cures bad memories. Why? It is right in its motive and in its method. See, gratitude is right in its motive as well as its method, because gratitude cures bad memories. How do I know that? Write this down. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. Know yourself thoroughly. Store memory wisely and live obediently. That's what he was telling Israel. Remember me. You can have all this stuff, but don't forget it's me that gave thee power. Let me say it again. Gratitude cures bad memories. It is right in its motive and its method. Know yourself thoroughly. You got to find out who you are. Store memory wisely and live obediently. Can I say it without sounding arrogant? We live obediently to the Lord. We enjoy living to the Lord. I love creating memories. You've heard me say it before. We have more fun with our granddaughter. Only got one. One daughter, one granddaughter. I tell you, totally controlled by an 8-year-old. Totally controlled by an 8-year-old. Whatever she want to do, that's what we do, David. Hey, David, I just saw that. How you doing? Hello, that's Molly. Lord, she was so little. What happened, Molly? Quit growing. Praise God, you're making me old. Praise God. What a blessing. Watch, totally controlled by an 8-year-old. Why? Because you see, if Jesus tarries, me and Kathy, she calls Kathy Mimi, and I'm grandfather. We have created some great memories. And if Jesus tarries and Meredith becomes 75 and 80 years old, talking to her grandchildren and talking to maybe her great grandchildren, we don't know. I wanted to say, you should have met my grandfather. You should have known my Mimi. Oh, did they love me? My Mimi made pancakes with cake mix. And it didn't even rise. And she thought it was good, but it was trash, but I ate it anyway. Because Mimi loved me. Yeah. And I'm so glad you did that, Kathy, but gratitude cures bad memories on them pancakes here. So nah, brother, there's a law at my home. You will. Don't run out of pancake mix. And then Kathy serves her breakfast in bed. This is an 8-year-old. Kathy, I said, what you doing? I thought I would bless Meredith. I'm going to serve her breakfast in bed. So she's sitting in my bed. And I have a beautiful bed. Took me 10 years to find it. King Louis the 18th slipping it.
Amen.
Well, that's a fact. I got some stuff to blow your socks off. Meredith's sitting in there with that tray. She says, send a picture to my mom. It was a great day. We just loved it. See, it's a memory. Know yourself thoroughly. Store memory wisely. Come on, give God glory and live obediently. See, you can forget God doing so many busy things. I'm not against the Saints. I like Saint games. And I don't mind if they're on Sunday and all that kind of stuff. But remember, the only reason you could get a ticket, because God gave you the money to do it. So if you are going to go to the Saints game, pray for them so they don't lose. You know what I'm saying? He did that so you could enjoy your life. Oh, that's just so little. Yeah, but it's the little things in life is what makes life wonderful. Know yourself. I know I'm a giver. The other day I ate at the Cheesecake Factory. My meal was $29.70. Gave her $100. Bishop brought it back and said, the rest is yours. Oh, that's just too much. I said, girl, sit down. I got to help you. No, it's not. Everybody got to make a living. Let me help you here. She said, every waiter and waitress knows you in here. I've created memories. Because I remember when I worked at the coffee shop in Houma, Louisiana, making 90 cents an hour all night, and they wouldn't give me 10 cents for a tip. We used to say, you got stiffed. I wanted to make him a stiff. They work hard. I want it to be a blessing. I know myself thoroughly. I store my memories wisely. And I live obediently. So if you get around me, it don't take much. People say, that's beautiful. Boy, hey, let me show you how you handle persecution. Because Percy ain't cute. See, he ain't cute. He's just trying to hurt you. So when people say, well, I don't think you ought to have that nice car. See, come see what the Lord has done. Can you believe that? Look at what the Lord has given me. They go. They don't know how to handle that, see. Instead of you driving around with your lean on so they can see your car. No. You understand what I'm saying? So if they come to your house and you got a nice home, they go, I'll tell you what, the other thing. Oh, let me show you what the Lord, look what the Lord has done. Can you, and look at it and say, can you believe it? Because they can't see. But you say it anyway. Can you believe what God has done? Look at this. They go, oh, yes, that's it. That's nice. That's. That's gratitude. Curing those bad memories. We should make grateful acknowledgement of God's goodness. Write that down. We should make grateful acknowledgement of God's goodness by unreserved dedication to his service. I didn't really want to preach today. I'm a little tired. I ain't gonna lie about it. But it's such an honor to be able to walk behind a pulpit. And I remember the Lord thy God. He called me. We should make grateful acknowledgement of God's goodness by unreserved dedication to his service. You see, if you forget God's works, you are sure to fail in your own. If you forget God's works, you are sure to fail in your own works. Because he told them that. And you know what? They forgot God and lost it all. How can you forget God? When he gives you health to make it. The only reason why you feel good is because of God. Because Satan don't come to make sick. He ain't interested in making you sick. He come to kill you. He's a killer. He's a serial killer. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He don't come to make sick. Sick ain't in his mind. He said, look how we can kill this guy. And he likes to do it slow. Yes. Like with cancer. That he beat you. Yes. And beat you. And beat you. And he gets such entertainment and enjoyment out of that. And you mean to tell me, preachers say, well, the Lord sent this.
Come on.
If you had the power to put cancer on your child, would you do that? No, you wouldn't. If you're any person of any character. And you're going to say, God, whom loves more than we can possibly, the Lord sent that on us to teach us something. That is ridiculous. God don't test your body. God looks at your faith. Let me tell you something about God and faith. A lot of people do not understand. You know why it works for me? You know, it says a statement, fight the good fight of faith. It's not a fight until you fight faith. The reason why it's hard sometimes is because you fight in faith instead of fighting the good fight of faith. By doing this, well, I'll tell you what, you just got to keep believing. Yeah, no, see, that's fighting faith. It's like, it ain't fast enough. Come on, Jesus. Now, God is never late. We know that, but we sure wish he was early. Right? Let's just be nice. It'll be nice if he just show up early. But God is an on-time person. You see, so I don't fight my faith. Because if I start complaining about my faith, I'm fighting faith instead of fighting the good fight of faith. So I've had some people say, boy, y'all look like y'all been through some tough things. It don't make no difference. Haven't gone through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Not though I stop, build a house, and canonize the place. So I don't fight the faith. I fight the good fight of faith. And to tell you the truth, I don't even get the arrows because it's a shield. If you're going to hit me, all you're ever going to hit in my life is my faith. Amen. Now, I'm not like a dumb Christian sitting there talking to another Christian with the shield up. Do you think the devil gone? I don't know. Why don't you look? Don't look. Well, is it? Oh, no, he ain't gone. But you'd be stupid to say this shield is not working. So you fight the good fight of faith. That doesn't mean trouble don't come, but since then, so I've been believing God for quite a while for our new aircraft. And you ready for this? I don't even need it. Which boggled my intellectual, homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical mind. My range in research, my induction in reasoning. Wait a minute. Why? Because the Lord said, I will not allow you to be on cruise control. And then I said something stupid. Well, Lord, I don't need it. Did I say anything about need? Oh, I knew I made a mistake, Nicole. Oh, gee. Listen, forget what I just said. You know how you get him to forget it? I repent. Boom. He wipe it out. He said, what'd you say, Jesse? Thank you for the plane. Did you get that? That's a simple analogy, but that is how God operates and functions. Repent means turn from, go the other way. When you repent, boom! I mean, it's wiped from his mind like it never happened. And he'll say, what did you say? Thank you for the blessing. He don't even remember that you, he kind of bit down a little bit on that. I know persecution comes, but Percy ain't cute. It don't make no difference. I have a grateful acknowledgement of his goodness, and I'm dedicated to that service. You see, if I forget God's works, I'm sure to fail at mine. Oh, Bobby, should come. I say, this is going to sound so arrogant. All you are, you know, oh, shit, I don't want to say this. I'm going to get slammed like crazy on it. I have never failed. Oh, look at some of y'all. Look at y'all. I have it. Did I say I'd build this church debt free?
Yes.
Did I do it?
Yes.
You sitting on pews that were paid for before your butt ever got here. Did I compromise?
No.
Do you know Chase Bank? It was Hibernia then. Hibernia Bank, Whitney Bank. Nothing wrong with borrowing money. Trying to put money in my hands. No, I will not fail. Amen. Resistance is futile. I'm like a Christian Borg. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, y'all just have to go pray it out. That's all I get. Because anybody know what I'm talking about? Resistance is futile. Oh, no. Now, I am going to get, I promise you, next week that's going to be all over the internet. Sound like Donald Trump, huh? Good Lord, Jesus. No. Watch it. No. Why didn't you fail on the building? Count the cost before you build the tower.
Come on, Jesus.
And this. Don't tell anybody. They say you're really building something nice. You tell them you ain't building anything.
There you go.
I am. And in this whole process, I never once said one time that I was building something. People said, boy, you're really building something nice. A lot of different contracts would come. Different people. I said, I ain't building nothing. What? I said, this is the Lord.
Amen.
I remember the Lord thy God.
Yes,
so resistance is futile. You see, as long as you remember... Write this down. He will remember. This is very simple. As long as you remember, he will remember. He'll remember after you go by the way of the grave if he tarries. You want a scripture? I remember my servant David. And I will not allow this to come upon his descendants. Let me put that in perspective. David, if Jesus died and you go by the way of the grave, Molly becomes 85, 90 years old. She's got great, great grandchildren. Something happens. Heather, something happens. I don't know, maybe something. A hurricane's come. I don't know. And they're all still living here. Let's say that. God will say this. I remember my servant David. Heather, I will not allow this to come upon his great Great, great, whatever. I don't care how far into the future you want to go.
You're right.
If you remember the Lord thy God, that is He.
Amen.
He'll do it even after your death.
Yes.
That's scripture, buddy. You talk about that's good, Lord Jesus, man. Because see, if you remember, he remembers. Let me close with this. What does memory do? Memory quickens the heart. And it supplies fuel for grateful feelings. I've had people say, you're always saying thank you. They get aggravated about it. Why? Well, it quickens my heart. How many times I've got up in that house? Last night, I got up my walk and I thought, I've been in this house 5 years, and I go, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It is you that did this. And it quickens, it brought fuel and it produced grateful feelings. I saw Richard Pichon, and I called him all, was it yesterday, the day before? He's fishing somewhere or something like that. And I could tell he had a rough day on the water. I tell you, I don't know if I'm ever coming back out here again. Glory. He said, these waves beating our brains out. I said, did you catch any fish? No, I ain't caught a fish at all. I said, look like you need prayer instead of bait. Top of the rodeo, I think is going on. It can get rough on that gut, buddy. You get out there when them thunderstorms come out. And he said, I said, well, how big was the swell? Man, it's 4.5 to 6 foot. I've been in 25 foot swells. With a hurricane out there, and they couldn't pick us up in a chopper. This one was working for Shell Oil Company. So we had to take a boat. We got 14, chopper back on the beach, they call it the beach, the shore within 45 minutes. The boat, 14 hours. 25 foot swells. The water go over the boat and knock out the windows in the boat. We're standing in the boat with 2.5 to 3 foot of water inside the boat, and we got 9 hours. You become religious. You pray and you lie to God, oh, if you can just get me to the beach. You know you lying. And you know, that's been 1976. Yeah. And about 6 months ago, we went to P.F. Chang's, you know, at the mall. Sitting there eating, I look at a guy and I said, I know that guy. But I don't know. He looks familiar. All of a sudden I heard it, Jesse. And he was the captain on that boat. And I went, my man. He said, you remember when that wave went over? I said, yes. And it knocked him out. And the electricity on the boat, I thought, we're going to die. We revived him as fast as we could. Because he's the only one who could handle this thing. He said, you remember that? I said, do I remember that? He said, I heard you tell that story. He said, and I turned to my grandchildren and he said, that was me that he's talking about. That man saved our lives. But he couldn't do it unconscious. We got him conscious. As fast as we could. And I still have grateful feelings. It came up in me like, I wanted to thank him again. I said, thank you, man. He said, Jesse. He said, I know how to drive a boat. That's what I've done all my life. I'm retired now. He said, but I was just as scared. He said, I realized what happened when I went that wave. He said, there was a double wave behind it. When we topped it, 25. We had one. Oh, usually, you know, you got to. It was right. Oh, Lord. Boom. Next thing we knew, we standing in water. Let me say it again. Memory quickens the heart. It brought tears to my eyes. I mean, you look so good. He said, I don't feel good. I said, can I pray for you? He goes, yeah. I said, P.F. Chang? Yeah. I said, yeah, why not? I prayed for you when you was in the boat. And I was a heathen. Oh, Jesus, help this man. Help this man. We were in trouble, buddy. We were in trouble. What'd you say, you got it? That was Shell Cafe. I didn't know you when I worked for Texaco. That's right. Then I was a chef. She said, that was Texaco. No. Texaco is when I was a teenager. Remember. Remember. That woman's wanted to correct me all her life. But anyway, she getting there. Memory quickens the heart and supplies fuel for grateful feelings. And I want to close with this statement. The mercy of God is only remembered when it's taken away. Now that's a statement. The mercy of God is only remembered when it's taken away. You see, what people call failure, God calls a fall. But God even has help with that in Micah chapter 7. When I fall, I shall arise. Get up! It's not a failure to fall in the mud. It's a failure to live in the mud. You ain't a pig. And you ain't gonna get mud off a pig's mind. You can wash that sucker and put perfume on him or her, whatever. I mean, make her beautiful, make him beautiful. I mean, dress that pig up and you turn loose that pig. Where is it going? It's going to the mud because it has a mud mentality. See, a lot of people, you'll understand this occasion, have mud bug Christianity. They're worshiping God, but they're backing up, going into the parking pot at the same time. See? The mercy of God is only remembered when it's taken away. Yet his mercy endures forever. It's an endearment to God because sometimes people just won't forget him. How can you forget God when you're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out? How? You ever know most people remember God when they're having trouble? It seems like it should be the exact opposite. That when you're so blessed, you should never forget God. And God was saying this. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Now, if you go over to the next book, the book of Joshua, God said, this book of the law, Deuteronomy, shall not depart out of the eyes, out of the mouth. You understand? In other words, remember. It's the source of success. It's the power of success. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get well. So every time I get blessed, Tyler, every time I get blessed, I say, God, you did it again. And sometimes Kathy don't know how much money I got. Like if we go on vacation, she'll come up to me, you know, because she can get what she wants. You know, she'll go. How much cash you got? How much you got in there, huh? Where you got to hit that? I go, I don't know. She goes, remember. Because she wants some of it. I say, okay. I say, I always got to keep a little stash, Kathy. You got to have a little stash. Because, you know, you just never know when you may want something. Well, I have the American Express. She thinks if you charge it on American Express, it's over. No, it's coming back. It's coming back. She'll go, makes you get back. Look at that little face. And then sometimes she comes up with something really phenomenal. She says, would you like to pay for my American Express? Oh, that's what I live for. Sure. Now, that's when she was a little younger. Now she's older. She goes, I have my own money. Well, how come I got to bail you out sometime? And how sometimes you got to bail me out. The other day I closed with this Meredith. We were on a little shopping spree with Meredith. Boy, she's throwing everything in that basket. And Kathy goes, Meredith, do you have enough money? Oh, I have a lot of money. Yes, I have a lot of money. That's Meredith. Oh, yes, I have a lot. Because see, Meredith saves her money. She saved it for what, 6 months? And it hit her. She said, we're going to the mall. I'm going to spend my money. So, man, we go into the mall. So, man, she's throwing this. And Kathy goes, Meredith, do you know how much that costs? Yeah. Well, you think you got enough? Oh, I got enough. Well, she didn't have enough. She had about $60 or $40, maybe 60. That's a shot. They both looked at me. Remember. Would you like to bail Meredith out? Oh, yeah, that's what I live for. So I gave her the extra $60, and boy, she's just enjoying herself. But see, but Mimi wasn't finished. Meredith was finished. Meredith was totally satisfied. But not Mimi. She says, come on, Meredith. You got to have a bag to carry all these dolls. She bought 14 Barbie dolls. So she can give other Barbie dolls away. You know, she's always being a blessing. Mary's always, you know, clothes if she gets, Jody has to go give it away. It really blesses. Really, we need to help. Yeah. And Kathy said, well, she needs to carry these things. What's the name of that bag? Philip Radke. What is it? What's the name of that bag?
Vera.
Say it.
Vera.
Vera? Bradley? Vera Bradley bag costs more than all 14 Barbie dolls. I never heard of Vera Bradley. So why is that? She goes, oh, Mimi, there's something. Else that, this matches the bag. So I'm standing, I said, how much is that bag? And the lady said, oh, this is very nice. She's 8 years old. She don't know what a Vera Bradley is. I'm 67 now. I don't know what a Vera Bradley, whatever the name is. But you know what? You know what happened?
Remember.
Boom, boom. Out the money. I pay for that, Jesse. So I walked out. I said, this kid's got one of these bags cost this much money. And I said, take a picture of me with Meredith and make sure the bag is in the picture. Sure, the bag is in the picture. And you know, Kathy showed that bag, showed that picture to someone, and they went, oh, you bought a Vera bag, Bradley, whatever it is. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. They didn't say nothing about me. Oh, Brother Jesse, you looking good? They ain't said nothing. They just talked about the bag. Ooh, Lord, isn't that good? Give Jesus a hand clap for this message. The power of success. What is it? Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power.